This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Pretty sure the reason Bob McCowan gets so many days off is because he takes Jeff Blair's holidays too. Which means Jeff Blair's available to guest host primetime sports on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
The prime time for the final day of August, or Edgust. Do you like that? Do you like me calling it Edgust for Edwin?
No. Okay. Good talk. When did you become a fan, by the way?
Of what?
I don't know.
Well, I'm a fan. You know what I'm a fan of?
What are you a fan of?
I'm a fan of
September baseball mattering.
September baseball mattering.
Yeah.
Dude, I've been covering baseball since '89. I have never had a home playoff date. Think about it.
Wow.
Because I wasn't here in 92, 93. The only year the Expos had a shot was 94. Yeah. The strike. I haven't covered a home playoff game.
That's actually incredible.
It is incredible.
That's incredible.
I have covered, are you ready for this? I have covered two perfect games.
Yeah.
I've seen three triple plays.
Yeah.
Two of them within a day of each other. And I've not covered a playoff game.
That's amazing.
Think about that. That is hard to do. So I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's very fair.
Sorry. And I wasn't even a Blue Jays fan growing up. I mean, I grew up in Manitoba, man. I was a Twins fan.
Yeah.
I was the only 6 foot, 300-pound kid you saw holding a bat like Rod Carew.
You're not 6 feet tall.
Shut up. You're such a you-know-what. It's Arash Madani joining myself, Jeff Blair, on Primetime. McCown's going to be back next week. Big news of the day, of course. Well, we will start by mentioning that the Jays beat Detroit 9-2 yesterday. They're a game and a half up in the Yankees in first place in the AL East. They start a three-game series tonight at the Rogers Center with a certain Mr. David Price on the mound for the Blue Jays. So that is significant. That game will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet East-West Ontario and specific. Sometimes I do. That's a Wilner thing to do, right? You know, he makes up words. So that's the important. That's the on-field stuff. Off the field, Mark Shapiro was named today as president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays, succeeding Paul Beeston. No indication yet as to what this does for or to Alex Anthopoulos' status. No indication yet as to how the job will be structured. Mark Shapiro had a news conference day in Cleveland, which dealt largely with his time with the Indians, and it was more a farewell to Cleveland than it was a welcome to Toronto thing. And everything we're led to believe is Mark Shapiro now steps back, lets Alex Anthopoulos and Paul Beeston play out the rest of the season, and then takes over from Beeston at the end of the season.
And that's the biggest thing, is that he's not going to be involved between now and the end of the season, whenever that may be.
Right. Which begs the question, who the hell is going to negotiate Alex Anthopoulos' contract, because his contract runs out essentially the day after the season. Stephen Brunt of Primetime Sports and Sportsnet, our Newfoundland correspondent, who is now back safely in Southern Ontario, joins us on Primetime Sports. Hello, Mr. Brunt.
Hey, Blair, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Everything fine back in the hammer? Everything good?
Everything's good, yes. I'm still in that period of adjustment, but yes, it's fine.
Awesome.
There's Steve.
Boy, you look good.
What's
You're
up,
TV.
Man?
All right, Brunt, what do you make of this?
Well, it's not like we didn't know there was going to be a new president. We've known that for quite some time. I guess the flip remark would be, I'm glad they didn't have to trade a player for this guy. Mark Shapiro's got a tremendous reputation as a bright guy in baseball, you know, a baseball guy who morphed into a COO and more on the business side of things, but obviously has a baseball IQ and is smart on the marketing side. He renovated and fixed up a stadium, which is going to be part of the mandate here. Paul Beeston, we knew, was going to be gone at the end of his contract. And, I guess the timing of this, it's a little bit of a distraction in the middle of a pennant race. I don't think it's a distraction of the guys on the field. I don't think they care who the COO is, but It until they answer the Alex Anthopoulos question, it's going to be a talking point for fans and for everybody.
Steve, do you have any inkling as to how much of this is going to be Mark Shapiro is going to run the business side and renovate the stadium and put more butts into seats, and how much of a hands-on baseball he's going to have? Is there kind of a ratio or a split or a percentage of how much of the job description is A and how much is B?
I can't answer that, Arash. I don't know. And again, I assume there are discussions going on. You know, Alex Anthopoulos' contract is up at the end of this year.
Right.
My understanding is that they would like to bring him back. They would like him back as the general manager and various other titles he holds as well.
Sure.
They would like him to work with Mark Shapiro. But he's not under contract right now. And, if I was him, or not under contract at the end of this year, and I know if I was him, I'd be asking all kinds of questions, just like, in addition to questions like term and compensation. It's a guy who could be a free agent and a very sought-after free agent. I would be asking exactly those questions. How do we define these jobs? Now, it's not like Paul Beeston didn't have baseball opinions. He certainly did. And he occasionally, historically stepped in and was part of things. He was part of the Russell Martin negotiations, for instance.
Right.
So it's not like he was a completely neutral, non-baseball guy. But, you've got somebody in that chair now who was a general manager. And I think defining that relationship between two guys who, it's my understanding, don't know each other very well, it's got to happen, and it's got to happen relatively quickly. You don't want this hanging in the air into October for a whole bunch of reasons.
Yeah, I may have misread. When I was speaking to Alex, I may have misread, and this was a while ago, I may have misread his relationship with Mark Shapiro. I thought they knew each other a little bit and that Alex had used him every now and then as a sounding board. I mean, which is possible and really doesn't necessarily make the point any more or less relevant. But what does kind of interest me about this is, you're right, Mark Shapiro is the former general manager. Steve, he's also only 48 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not an old guy. And, there are people in Cleveland who have said that they think he still kind of harbors ambitions of having a say in baseball operations. And, you know Beeston and Alex better than I do, but my sense was that Beeston's role when he got involved in baseball operations was almost uniformly supportive, helping Alex get Russ Martin signed, as opposed to stepping in and kind of saying, here, let me do this.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's probably been times when things didn't go completely well, when he might have voiced another opinion, mm-hmm. and said, what the heck's going on here? There's been, it hasn't been all hearts and flowers the last couple of years since the Marlin deal, right?
There's been,
and, there were some unattributed quotes earlier this season that sounded a lot like Paul Beeston to me, saying, what the heck's going on down there? So, I think there's probably been times when he has been a dissenting voice as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the way this team, and you know this, Jeff, I think the way this team is run, under Alex is, there's kind of a council there, right? There are a bunch of people who, I'm not sure they all get an equal vote, but it's a collaborative effort with guys like Tony LaCava and a bunch of others who are, part of the brain trust down there. So it's not a one-man show. It's not, Alex's word, and he's not. That may be a function of how he came into the job and his own background. That, he's not one of these guys. There are general managers who, their word is God, and mm-hmm. They are it. He has been a guy who's had to do a lot of listening in his career. He's been on a learning curve. We all know how he started out in the business, so he operates that way now. I would expect that Mark Shapiro would have an opinion on baseball matters. I would think he would have a voice. But I think his biggest job, and it's a full-time job, is going to be as a liaison between the team and ownership, which is a huge job, convincing a great big media, publicly traded media company that they should continue to invest to a certain level in baseball and where they can take advantage of that. It's going to be in the stadium redevelopment. There's a lot of business issues around this team. Right now they're happy business issues because they're making buckets of money. But I think there's enough in that job that I would hope that he wouldn't want to meddle in day-to-day baseball operations.
Steven, a couple of people have mentioned this on Twitter, and I think it's a valid point. I'm not going to play the nationalist card, but look, Paul Beeston is a Canadian. He's a member of the Order of Canada. He's certainly a well-known, you can call him a well-known Canadian personality. A lot of people are saying, look, why not let Alex be the baseball guy? bring somebody in who knows the lay of the land politically here, because a lot of, I mean, ultimately we're going to be talking about doing something major to this ballpark, and you may want somebody who knows the lay of the land with City Hall, at the provincial government, you know, maybe with the Fed, somebody who's comfortable in Bay Street, all that good stuff. Does that kind of surprise you, and do you look at that as necessarily one of the negative aspects of this hiring?
It's, you know, it's an interesting point, Jeff, because, you know, certainly, you know, one thing Paul Beeston is, you know, and always has been, is a guy who was very connected.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the most connected guys I know in terms of the business community in Toronto, in terms of the political community. You know, he has friends on all sides of all fences. You know, he is very much a player and, you know, very much of the Toronto business community, the national business community, and the political scene here. So, yeah, you're not getting that. And it, you know, I think that was one way they could have gone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to speak for whoever it was who made this decision, because I don't even know who actually did the hiring. Why they decided to go with a guy who is not, you know, not just a, not a pure baseball guy, but, you know, somebody who has had to do things on the business side, and of late has had more to do on the business side than on the baseball side.
Right.
But they must have thought of Mark Shapiro as a real asset on
yes.
a lot of levels. That's my assumption.
Yeah, I think they looked at him as a bright young thing in some ways.
Yeah.
Here's what I wonder, though, fellas. If Dave Dombrowski is not scooped up by the Boston Red Sox, are we having a different conversation today?
It's a different price point, isn't it, Arash?
Sure it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're talking, what, $7 million for Dombrowski?
And Dombrowski was not involved in the stadium renovation. And, Steve, I wonder just how much of that weighs into this. Progressive Field is now about to begin a second phase of their renovations there. And how much of landing Shapiro was about renovating one of the worst ballparks in all of baseball?
Well, I'm sure it had to be part of the conversation, Arash, because, you know, right now, if you look at kind of what's, you know, what's working for this team, a lot of things are working for this team. The attendance is going crazy. The TV ratings are through the roof. They're selling lots of merch. You know, they'll be able to sell through the winter. There's a lot of things. But, you know, to kind of build this thing and make it sustainable, maybe not at this level, maybe not at sold out every game, but at, you know, at a different level than it's been in the last two decades, you're going to have to do something with this ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not simple, right? This, we all know that the grass project is not simple now. You're going to try and turn this place into a more baseball-friendly, more of a one-sport stadium for sure, and more of a baseball-friendly stadium. So, yeah, you've got a guy who took a different kind of ballpark than this, you know, the former Jacobs Field, which was a pretty good ballpark, turned it into a better one. You know, I'm sure that's part of what he sold to the Rogers people, and I'm sure that's what part of what they liked about him.
Steven, you know Alex pretty well on a personal level. How do you think he'll react to or handle the uncertainty?
Well, you know,
there's uncertainty. We don't know. Maybe there's a contract in a drawer someplace. But I'm saying, let's just assume there isn't. You know him well. How do you think he'll react to this?
I would be surprised if he doesn't come back. And I think that decision is going to be in his hands.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's going to be up to him. And, you know, those terms, you know, or something to be negotiated, all kinds of things about it are to be negotiated. But I think if he wants to come back and be the general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, he will be able to do that. You know, I wonder, you know, he likes being here. He likes the situation. He likes the city as a young family. There's all kinds of reasons personally he might want to stay here. And I think he's got to like the fact that he's now, what he's done is bearing fruit. Like, who wouldn't want to be around for this now that it's good? But I wonder, if I was advising him, if I was his agent, I'd say, look, pal, your market value is really high.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of vacancies right now. You're a free agent. Act like a player. You know, that doesn't mean you necessarily want to go or need to go, but, you know, why don't you sniff around a little bit, see what the market has to offer, and at least play the cards you have rather than just saying, I'm a good, loyal organization guy, I'm going to come back, I like living in Canada, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm not sure that, you know, and I can't speak to, I don't think Alex has ever been in that position in his life.
Right.
So, but it's, you know, it's a difference for a guy who people thought was going to be fired 6 months ago,
yeah.
8 months ago.
Right.
You know, suddenly to be kind of in the catbird seat in terms of negotiating your own deal, that requires kind of a different mindset. And I don't know what he'd be like in that situation. I can't tell you.
Hey, Steven, let's bring it back to the field a little bit. I asked Beeston this question because, you know, Buck Martinez and I had this discussion yesterday in the dugout about just the mood around this team and sort of the national reach of this team. And Buck was making the point that he thinks the crowds we're seeing at the Rogers Centre now are a little younger, a little rowdier, and he meant that in a good way, than the crowds we saw at the Rogers Centre in 92-93. And he just thinks that maybe you know, the national reach of this team, of this particular team, is going to be just so much more pronounced than any of those other teams, just because of social media, because of the way fans consume their sports now. Do you think we in Toronto know the type of impact this team is having across the country? Because as I told Beeston, anecdotally, friends of mine who live out west, it's all they're talking about.
Yeah, well, and I can speak as somebody who, you know, was living in Newfoundland
exactly
for a pile of the summer and who traveled back and forth across Atlantic Canada and Quebec to get there. And this is different. You know, Jeff, I was in Montreal the other night. There's, you know, people wearing Blue Jays caps in Montreal who actually are from Montreal.
Yikes.
Yeah. You know, that's like wearing a Leafs jersey. It used to be, or could have been perceived that way at one point in history. In Atlantic Canada, you know, I have more baseball conversations this year than I've ever had. And I think he's right about this, the changing demographic of the crowd. You know, it wasn't that long ago when you would come to these games and you'd look out there and say, man, everybody's me or older. And it's a remember when crowd, and it's hard to build on that. But you have a smart, young, tuned-in baseball audience. You know, look, opening day here, you get a full house. There's a lot of kids, a lot of drinking. It's kind of a crazy party crowd. But what you're seeing now is kind of a tuned-in baseball audience that is much younger, that is social media-driven, that's really smart about the sport, and that has never been able to watch a winner in its life.
Mm.
You know, to be able to attach yourself to something and say, I understand this, I get it, I have been following this team, and now here's the payoff. I think we're about to see something different than, you know, and I can go back to the 80s when this built up. I can go back to 92 and 93 when they were winning the World Series. But this has a different vibe to it, and I'm not sure what that means, but I think it means big. I think it means very, very big.
Mr. Brunt, I'm going to let you run. I appreciate you doing this. Congratulations on the documentary, by the way. Dave Steeb, Almost Perfect. I know how much work went into doing that, believe me.
Yes, and, yes, you do firsthand now, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do firsthand, and congratulations on it. It was terrific and timely, too, I think, given the fervor around this team.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Take care.
Just to wrap on how big this national fan base has become.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, the most watched television program in all of Canada, the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, the most watched television program, the Blue Jays. Sunday, the same. You know what was number two yesterday?
What?
The Blue Jay pregame show. 1.5, 1.3, and 1.3 million were the numbers. I mean, these are staggering national audience numbers that the Blue Jays are bringing in. And it's shattering everything, not just sports programming, anything on Canadian television.
Ray Morrison, who's the morning sports anchor on the Brent Laux show in Saskatoon, sent me a tweet the other day because I talked about how I'd heard that in Saskatchewan, a lot of the sporting goods stores, their Blue Jays merchandise was outselling Saskatchewan Rough Riders merchandise. Of course, the Rough Riders having a horrible season. He was saying, he said, my son works at a sporting goods store in Saskatoon. He said, I can tell you that Jay sales are strong, and I'm hearing that from other people as well.
Yeah, and
just
anecdotally. How strong is that Rider brand, by the way, until this year?
Yeah.
They're number three behind the Leafs and the Habs.
Yeah, very strong. Yeah. So that's an indication. So Mark Shapiro is the new president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. He will take over the job at the end of the season. What can we expect from Mark Shapiro? What does he bring to the Toronto Blue Jays? Bud Shaw is a Cleveland Plain Dealer columnist. Bud Shaw joins us in Primetime Sports. Bud, thanks a lot for doing this.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
So tell us about Mark Shapiro. One of the things we're being told is he is a guy who helped renovate Progressive Field. Tell us about those renovations and just how much of a success they were.
Well, they saw the need early on. I mean, I'm sure over the last few years, you guys have noticed that attendance has been sagging in Cleveland, the city that once, you know, set a record with 455 consecutive sellouts back in the 90s. So you know, they saw this these empty seats night after night, and you know, I'm sure looked at some of the same things you guys were just talking about, you know, about a demographic that was getting older. And they tried to put in a bar area out in right field, took seats out to make it more of a place to go, you know, a happening social. I don't know that it's necessarily reflected in increased attendance this year. because this was a team that, as you guys probably know and your listeners know, was picked in some quarters to be a World Series team, and mm-hmm. and really got off to a terrible start, and have had a very disappointing season that has included selling off big contracts and all that stuff. So, but that was it. You know, Mark had moved into the president's job from the GM job about 5 years ago, and I think part of his charge at that time was to, you know, modernize the ballpark and make it more attractive to younger fans.
So he was the hands-on guy, Bud? I mean, you know, because he comes in now.
Yeah, he basically oversaw a lot of the process, you know. You know, I'm not sure he was the one out there saying, you know, this is what we need to do to make it better, but he certainly made sure that the process and getting it done, you know, worked to the best advantage of the team.
In conversation with Bud Shaw of the Cleveland Plain Dealer. We didn't really address this too much, but it came up at the news conference today with Paul in Cleveland with Paul Dolan and Mark Shapiro. The fact that there was no compensation involved in this, is this an issue from a Cleveland point of view, or do you think Paul Dolan, do you think this was essentially a case where Paul Dolan and Mark Shapiro were very close, and Mark Shapiro said, look, Paul, I wouldn't do this were it not for the fact that I really want this job, and essentially Paul Dolan gave him his blessing and left it at that.
Yeah, that's exactly the way I read it, and I'm with you on that. I didn't think about that when I heard about the story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's basically leaving for what would be considered a lateral move in many quarters, I would think.
Sure.
But it's one that he, I'm sure, presented to Paul as something that has, you know, more far-reaching responsibilities than what he was doing here. I don't know if you guys may know an answer to this, whether he's supposed to become CEO of the facility, or I had heard something about that today. I don't understand exactly what the job is, and he did not want to talk about it, about the Toronto end of it.
This
is supposedly a day when he wanted to address all the connections he made here and the difficulty in reaching a decision for himself and his family.
Yeah, Paul Beeston's title was Blue Jays president and CEO, and he was the CEO of the Rogers Center as part of that. So,
right.
And again, you're right. We don't know exactly how this thing will be cast. You know, in terms of what the real split in powers will be, because like anything else, there's the powers you're supposed to have, and there's the powers that you end up getting, the de facto powers. But
officially,
our understanding is he's in charge of the Rogers Center.
Yeah, officially he's named president and CEO of the Blue Jays, Bud, and the Rogers Center.
And the Rogers Center, so there you go.
Yeah, it's interesting when, you know, when he moved out of the GM job into the president's position, you know, my understanding from talking not only with him, but with people close to him here, was that he had been asking for that role for a number of years. He saw it as a necessary growth professionally to move up to that position. Now, you know, you'll find people, probably more fans than anyone else, who thought that, you know, he had pretty much played out the string in his effectiveness as a GM, and that he was being moved out to get a fresh pair of eyes on the baseball operation. I tend to believe the former more than the latter, knowing how the Dolans have always spoken about Shapiro.
But Mark Shapiro spent half of his life working for that organization. You know, he's 48 years old, nearly 2.5 decades spent with that Cleveland Indians organization. What are the Toronto Blue Jays getting? What kind of fella are they getting? What kind of vision does this guy see? Who is Mark Shapiro, and what's coming to Toronto here?
Well, he's, you know, for the listeners who don't know, you know, he was a Princeton grad who played football there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't come to it with any real, you know, traditional baseball background. His dad was an agent. His dad represented Cal Ripken, Lamar Hoyt, some of those other players.
Right.
And his father was one of the most, you know, upstanding, well-respected people that I know I had ever dealt with in any professional sport. So when I heard that he was the guy here who at 24 years old was basically handed the keys to the minor league system by John Hart, it surprised me from an age standpoint, but not from a pedigree standpoint.
Mm.
You know, he's a very well-respected class act. This organization has gotten beat up locally by fans who remember the 90s and who hold them accountable for not being able to live up to the years of, you know, going 144 in the strike shortened season, of all those sellouts, of going to two World Series. But under Shapiro, I would argue that they were and still are the best run organization in town. Not that that's a very high bar. You know, when LeBron James hasn't been here, the Cavaliers have been one of the worst franchises in the NBA. So, you know, but he's got a tremendous amount of respect around the league. Over the last 5 years, he's distanced himself from, you know, the everyday decisions in the baseball operation, but clearly was serving as Chris Antonetti, his hand-picked successor. He was serving as an advisor and a consultant to him. The way he explained it to us today, you know, he wasn't going in and saying, I'm not so sure you should sign Brandon Moss. I don't think he's got much left in the tank.
Right.
All he was doing was trying to make sure that the process that led to wanting to sign Brandon Moss had been, you know, conducted in the right way with all the, you know, I's dotted and T's crossed.
Bud, we're going to let you run. We appreciate you joining us and giving us some insight on Mark Shapiro.
Great, guys. Anytime. Take care.
Take care. That is Bud Shaw, Cleveland Plain Dealer. Terrific columnist. First knew him when he was with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, by the way. And you get a sense of, I think, of Mark Shapiro. And I will say this. I mean, we're sitting here kind of wondering how this is all going to shake out. I mean, I could tell you from people who work with that organization that they are unfailingly loyal to Mark Shapiro.
And sounds like it's a two-way street.
And that Mark Shapiro, when he started moving up the organization and eventually assumed the presidency, made it a point of pride that there was continuity, that people were rewarded, that people were paid well, that scouts were taken care of. So you are getting a guy who engenders a lot of loyalty. Now, I'd forgotten about this, but I also know that Tony LaCava, who is Alex Anthopoulos' right-hand man,
mm-hmm.
when he was out of work, which is when, for a year, when Jeffrey Laurier was in the process of moving, taking the furniture out of Montreal and moving to Florida, and he basically asked everybody with the organization, look, either you come with me or I'm just not responsible for what's going to happen with you. Tony LaCava did not go to Florida with the Lauriers. He ended up working for a year with Cleveland as a special advisor. Actually, J.P. Ricciardi got him, set him up. Now, this would be, I don't know what Mark Shapiro's title with the organization would be, but Tony LaCava had a hand in the deal the Cleveland Indians made where they got Grady Sizemore, Brandon Phillips, and Cliff Lee from Montreal for Bartolo Colon. Tony was the point guy in that because his responsibility with the Expos organization had been, you know, in the minor league system. So essentially the Indians were tapping into his sort of his local knowledge when it came to the Expos. So I'm just throwing that out there. I think he and Mark have a bit of a pre-existing relationship. And, you know, the question I guess other people are asking right now is about Beeston's 5-year contract.
Right.
We do know that Cleveland's given out 3 6-year contracts as much as we could find. Grady Sizemore, Jason Kipnis, and I believe Yan Gomes. So in the past, all we will say is in the past, Mark Shapiro has given out or operated as a guy who doesn't believe in that strict five-year contract. That's just some stuff for me. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports grew up or covered the Baltimore Orioles. Mark Shapiro's dad, Ron, a terrific Baltimore-based agent, represented a lot of big-time Orioles, Cal Ripken, Eddie Murray, Ken Singleton. He also represented Kevin Barker.
Did he really?
Well. Yeah, his agency represented Kevin Barker. Ken Rosenthal knows the family pretty well. Ken Rosenthal, of course, is the baseball guru with Fox Sports. He actually broke the story originally that Mark Shapiro and the Blue Jays had a mutual interest. And guess what? Ken Rosenthal is going to join Primetime Sports when we return on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of what you want to hear on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Primetime Sports for the final day of August. Jeff Blair sitting in for Bob McCowan, joined all week long by Arash Madani. Somebody tells me you got a birthday coming up. Is this true?
No, sir. Good talk, though.
Well, okay, I've been led to... Jeez.
What now?
Shut up. I was given bad data.
Sportsnet has learned? The Montreal Gazette has learned?
I'll be quiet. You know what that just goes to prove? It just goes to prove that you got to trust your sources.
Right.
You know, you got to trust your sources.
Speaking of
what
Montreal,
I need to do, I need Ken Rosenthal to report that it's Arash Madani's birthday.
And he's never wrong.
Then I can take it as gospel.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Happy birthday, whenever it is.
Thanks. Speaking of the Montreal Gazette, sad news.
Yes.
The passing of Ian McDonald, a longtime baseball writer there.
Yeah.
You and Mac must have crossed paths many a time in a different press box.
Yeah, we spoke about it on air last week. It was Ian was the guy that helped cover baseball before I got there, and I always remember Ian. Well, first of all, Ian was. And Ian would be the first to tell you, Ian was not the greatest writer in the world. But his contact book was remarkable.
Right.
And, you know, we're talking people like Marv Levy and the commissioner of baseball. I mean, he had a varied contact book. And, he passed away last week. And I know a lot of people, I think Richard Griffin was talking about it. I believe Richard might be going up to Montreal. For the memorial this week. So Ian McDonald was a terrific reporter, a guy that we didn't necessarily get off on the best footing because I was this young guy who knew nothing about baseball, even less than I know now.
Wow!
And Ian knew everything about the game, and Ian would kind of just humor me. Mm-hmm. But he was a terrific gentleman. And he will be missed, and I know there will be a lot of people in Montreal thinking about Ian this week. And I'm willing to bet that a few people might even raise a toast in his honor.
There you go.
This week. Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports is the man who first reported that Mark Shapiro and the Blue Jays had mutual interest in each other. Of course, that interest consummated today. Mark Shapiro named president and CEO of the Toronto Blue Jays. And that's about all we're going to hear from Mark Shapiro until the end of the season when he takes over. What type of guy are the Jays getting? What does this mean for Alex Anthopoulos? We're joined by Ken Rosenthal. Ken, thanks so much for doing this today.
Always a pleasure. Both you guys, good to talk to you. It's a great question about Shapiro and what it all means. But this move, to me, made more sense than Dan Duquette, Ken Williams, Mike Rizzo, everyone except Dombrowski.
Mm-hmm,
and the reason I say that, Jeff, is because Mark Shapiro has been a club president. Been a club president since October 2010, has overseen business in baseball, has overseen a ballpark renovation, which I know is something the Blue Jays are planning to do in the next few years. And he is someone also who is deeply respected in the game, very well thought of. And don't take my word for it. Just look at Terry Francona. And the fact that he went to Cleveland in large part because of the presence of Shapiro and Chris Antonetti, their general manager. And he had it written in his contract that if they were ever to leave, that he could get out. Now, he's not going to leave because he's still comfortable with everything that's going on there. But it speaks to what Shapiro has meant to people in that organization and in the game.
Ken, before we close the door on that Dombrowski chapter, just because you brought it up, if he wasn't residing at Fenway Park today, would we be having a different press conference?
That's possible, yes. Now, my understanding, guys, is that the Blue Jays' pursuit of Dombrowski was never as heated as some portrayed it to be.
Okay.
Yes, they interviewed him, but my understanding is there was not an offer made. There were not serious discussions. It was kind of fait accompli. He was going to Boston. The Jays understood that. Certainly, if he were available, he's the number one guy. He's more accomplished than Shapiro is, although in a bigger revenue situation. So I don't know that it's apple to apple. But, yeah, I do believe that if Dombrowski had been available and willing to go to Toronto, which I see no reason why he wouldn't have been, he'd be the guy.
In conversation with Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports, how do you think he and Alex will get along? Like, I'd been told by some people that they've known each other, and that I keep saying that I remember Alex telling me when we sat down for lunch for this book I was doing that he had bounced some ideas off Mark Shapiro at times. I may have read too much into that. I don't really know how close they are. But Kenny, do you have an idea how they might be able to coexist? In other words, is Mark satisfied with yielding almost all of the baseball power to Alex?
Well, we don't know that he's going to be doing that exactly.
Okay.
We don't know how the arrangement's going to work.
True.
So it's an open question. Now, I will say this. Knowing both guys, and Jeff, you know both guys, Arash is saying, these are open-minded individuals. These are not guys who look for friction, quite the opposite. And I would expect, yes, that they can coexist, certainly. Now, Alex's contract is up. I would imagine Shapiro will try to do the same thing that he did in Cleveland and has done successfully. Implement a structure, implement a systematic approach to decision-making, and perhaps do that in a greater way than Alex Anthopoulos is accustomed to under Beeston, who, my understanding, is kind of operated in more of a freewheeling environment.
Yep.
It wasn't the same checks and balances system.
Right.
Now, if for whatever reason Alex Anthopoulos is uncomfortable in that way, and I honestly don't anticipate he will be, I actually think he will welcome some influence at the top. If he is uncomfortable, doesn't want to be there, he can be one of the hottest GM candidates out there for a number of jobs. But I do expect, guys, he'll be with the Jays and be with the Jays for some time to come.
Ken, do you believe if Anthopoulos does become a free agent, if by chance, just speaking hypothetically now, if it doesn't work out with he and Shapiro and the Blue Jays, that there are going to be numerous organizations knocking on his door?
Arash, I don't know how there can't be. And I'll lay it out to you in just a pure business dollar and cents way.
Let's do it.
Look at what has happened with the Jays since the deadline.
Yeah.
45,000 every night.
Yeah.
And it's because of what they've done. Going back to the winter with Donaldson and Martin, which were two terrific moves, and then, of course, Tulowitzki and Price, it's as if one man single-handedly revived the franchise.
Right.
And that might be overstating. And, of course, it diminishes the contributions of the players and the staff and all of that. But what I'm saying is this is the guy who did that. He's the GM who made those moves that put them in position to be in the spot. If I'm an owner, I'm pretty excited by that.
In conversation with Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports. Ken, you worked in Baltimore. Ron Shapiro was an agent, I believe. Now, was the Shapiro family from Baltimore originally? But I know that Ron had an awful lot of Orioles players, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about the family, because it's kind of it's an interesting baseball family, isn't it?
It is, and Jeff, I'm not sure if they started in Baltimore, but that certainly is where Ron Shapiro made his name. And he was a longtime agent for Cal Ripken, for Eddie Murray, for Kirby Puckett, and a number of lesser players as well. He doesn't have as many clients today. Joe Mauer is another one.
Mm-hmm.
And he is one of those guys who took kind of a holistic approach, wanted his players to be happy, not necessarily holding out for every dollar. But obviously, you see Puckett spent his career with one team. Ripken spent his career with one team. Mauer has spent his career with one team. It's a little bit different approach than, say, Scott Boras has with his clients. And I'm not saying that critically.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different style. So that's him. And Mark obviously grew up in Baltimore and grew up with Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken kind of hung around as a kid and absorbed the baseball culture that way, later went to Princeton, and then you see he spent one, or his, most of his baseball career, really all of it, in one place.
Right.
So these guys are stable guys. And actually, this change for Mark Shapiro, I imagine, was quite difficult for him to make because of the relationships he has in the Indians organization and the fact that he's been there almost a quarter century, long time in this game. It really is. So that's what we're talking about. And I would imagine that he'll be someone that has a great sense of who the Jays are, what they represent, what they mean to Canada. He's not Canadian, but he is global enough in his view to get all that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just see him as being someone that gets embraced by the fans of Toronto.
Kenny, you talk to more people around baseball than maybe anybody. Forget Mark Shapiro for a minute. Let's talk about these present-day Blue Jays. Tomorrow's the first. It's been a charmed 33 days for this ball club. You mentioned the attendance numbers, the TV ratings are off the charts. The excitement is being felt from coast to coast. But what are people within the industry saying about what's going on here in Toronto, and what do they forecast maybe ahead in the coming weeks?
Well, I just got off the show on MLB Network in which we interviewed Terry Francona.
Mm-hmm.
And they're about to play the Jays, of course, in Toronto. And he was asked, Francona was, all right, how do you handle these guys? And frankly, he said, I hope they swing enough so their backs go out. Swing hard enough. I didn't deliver it right, sorry.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the feeling around baseball right now. The Jays are this scourge that no one can stop, it seems. And while there are some who, I guess, don't trust them because they haven't done it in many years, I see them as the clear team to beat in the AL East. And it's going to be interesting because the Yankees are one of these clubs that is incredibly resilient and under Girardi just finds ways to hang in there and win. This will not be a cakewalk, I don't expect. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, where is the most talent right now? Where is the most life on the field? It's Toronto. And it's not even close. And if Stroman comes back, that seals it for me, and if he comes back in a big way, which, of course, is a lot to ask, then it really changes the equation considerably.
Kenny, we're going to let you run. Listen, I know it's been a busy – well, every day that ends in Y is a busy day for you, so we appreciate you doing this very much, as always.
Thanks, guys. Have fun up there, all right?
Take care. It's Ken Rosenthal, Fox Sports.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Like, great dude, great teammate,
yeah,
and just – at his craft, just incomparable.
Yeah, there's nobody in baseball who's, I mean, I told his colleague, John Paul Morosi, Morosi called up to let us know when they had their second child, and I said, that's great, but I don't believe it. And he said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not going to believe you've had a child until Rosenthal tweets it. He is pretty much the best. We appreciate him joining us. So there you go. A little bit of background on Mark Shapiro. We will wait and see how this plays out. How the power, you know, is arranged in the organization. I thought it was Kenny's take was a little interesting about the systemic approach Mark Shapiro had to decision making. Whereas in Toronto, it's basically Alex has got his group of advisors, and Paul Beeston's kind of there as the guy to support them. We'll see how it works. My gut tells me these two guys are going to make it work. Gut tells me that Alex is coming back. And that this is going to be fine. But it was interesting hearing Ken talk about the Shapiro families. Well, you think about that. Guy's 48 years old. He spent 24 years in Cleveland.
Clearly, yeah, half his
he's
life.
Not a bright, late, big city guy. And his dad, and I talked to Kevin Barker about this, because when I covered baseball for the Montreal Gazette, his dad had a bunch of players. His dad was one of the agents as a writer. You always called up for stuff. Always answered your phone call. Always got back to you. Always gave you... you know, really good advice. So we appreciate Ken Rosenthal joining us. Shai Davidi, our MLB insider in Sportsnet, he'll be along. We'll continue our Blue Jays discussion right after the Jays game against Cleveland tonight, and we'll talk a little RG3. All that ahead on Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.